guys, I'm Tawny, founder of Sobriety Tea Party and Readings on Recovery.
And I'm Lisa, author of Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And welcome to our podcast,
Recovery Rocks.
We're going to talk to you about everything from recovery to rock and roll to living in New York City.
We're going to talk about how we got sober, why we got sober, and how we stay sober.
Hello. Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
Welcome. I'm Tawny.
I'm Lisa. And today's subject,
we're going to talk about sex.
Sex it up.
Sober sex, sexuality, all of the things like that fall under that.
That big category, rubric of sex.
Sex.
I'll start. For me, basically I realized when I got sober, I was 38 years old. I had been drinking pretty much daily for the 10 years plus, maybe closer to 12 before that. And I could not remember really ever having sober sex. I had drunk or hungover kind of morning sex, but like sober sex was not a thing for me. And when I got into recovery, one of the things I heard early on that was a strong suggestion was to not have sex. If you were in a relationship, to stay in that relationship unless it was a threat to your sobriety. So this is 12-step. And if you were not in a relationship, to not get into one for the 12 months, your first 12 months, and to not date, which, you know, would include having sex, which would include any kind of romantic relationship. And so I wrote a story recently for our goddess Anna David,
the queen,
the ultimate queen. The story, it was about my first foray into sober sex, and it was called Was I Ready for Sober Sex? And I'm just going to read a paragraph from it to kind of set, you know, talk about where I was coming from on that. And I had just, it was my 1 year sober anniversary. So it was like I was now ready. I was cleared for takeoff. I was okay to have sex. And I went to one of my best friend's weddings. It was actually in Park City, Utah. And this is a story I read at your readings on recovery. Mm-hmm. And I met...
It's a good one.
Yeah, I met this smoking hot French chef.
And, yes, she did.
and anyway, so that, you know, it ended up going from there. But in thinking about it, I wanted to read from that story when my experience was there before we even got to that point. So here goes. When I first heard talk of a celibate year, though, I had bristled. Seriously? I was supposed to give up alcohol, drugs, and a year of sex? That was an awfully tall order. I decided at first to reserve judgment on whether to follow this particular suggestion. But to my surprise, I found in the early, most fragile days of recovery, getting naked with someone new while stone-cold sober was unimaginable, downright scary. A whole host of new and tricky things called feelings started showing up in all facets of my life. 10 years of daily drinking had allowed me to shut them out so effectively that not even watching The Way We Were, my Achilles heel of movies, could make me cry. If I ever felt emotional or the least bit unhappy, a quick dry martini or three could fix that. Without the booze and cocaine, suddenly I was weeping at television commercials. These were confusing days. I had my hands full just figuring out how to avoid melting down when there was a line at the dry cleaner on Saturday morning. It was unlikely my fledgling sobriety could survive a ride on the emotional roller coaster of a new relationship or even a one-night stand. So that's sort of where I was at. Waiting a year for sober sex for me ended up being a good thing, but you know, it was definitely a thing, you know, it was.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned relationship or one night stand because those are right. I mean, they deserve their own mention because they're two different approaches.
Yeah.
So like, so in 12 step, it says you're not, I understand they're not supposed to get into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Does it also mean like not no one night stands either, like no sex. Okay.
I mean,
unless you're in a relationship.
It's interesting because the thing that you're trying to avoid is the emotional vulnerability, the emotional connection that you could then get hurt, right? If you get invested in somebody and they blow you off, that can put you in a tailspin, right? That's the kind of thing I would drink over. So that's what you're trying to avoid. And I know for me, I used to elevate a one night stand into like, this is it. Meet my new husband, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, I was already picking out wedding dresses.
And yeah, like, the more you sleep with him, the more he'll fall in love with you. And then it's like, oh, no, he's actually just wants to bang.
Right, and you never hear from him again.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was, you know, so that kind of, that's why I refer to it as a roller coaster, because it is. It's like this swing of emotions, and you're just trying to not drink.
Yeah. I get that. But it's also like, I like how you prefaced it with like, I'm giving up sex, or I'm giving up drugs, alcohol, and a year of sex. Because yeah. It's like, that's just tough, because it's, we're humans and we have needs.
Right.
And I mean, I guess you're just supposed to masturbate for a year.
Yeah, that's pretty much the idea. Well, but if you're in a relationship that is not threatening your sobriety, you can stay in that relationship. But the idea is to not start up something new. So, I mean, there may be people who decide that that is something. And look, these are suggestions. There are no rules in 12-step.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? There are plenty of people who do things differently.
Yeah.
So what was your experience like?
With sober sex?
Or just the whole, yeah.
Or the first year?
Whatever. With sober sex, basically. What, like, how did sex change, or, you know, what happened when you got sober in...
Yeah. So I'll read a little bit from Huffington Post reached out to me spring of last year to get a quote about sober sex. And it was just, this article is a compilation of like five or six different people that are in our line of work.
Why did they reach out to you?
Probably because I had a sex column.
Why don't you tell us about that?
So one of the first things in, it was in my first year of sobriety. Actually, I had a sex column.
So you didn't have a sex column when you were drinking?
No. I was sober for maybe six, seven, 8 months. I remember it was somewhere in the first year, towards the end of the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email about this. I published a single article about orgasmic meditation.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to go into it, but if you want to know more, you can Google that. So I wrote about that, and then this editor found it, emailed me, was like, hey, we need a sex columnist for our website, yada, 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 long story short, I have a sex column in Australia.
Oh, okay.
So
good day then.
Good day. It was a very good day. So it was
some sex
great.
On Bobby.
It was cool because it's like, cause sex isn't just intertration. It's intercourse and penetration. I just made that up. Okay. Sex isn't just intercourse, right? It's not just penetration. It's like, it's intimacy, it's connection, it's relationships, it's communication, it's sexuality, it's exploration. There's all of this stuff that's under that sex umbrella that I've always been fascinated by.
Yeah.
And I loved having this sex column because I was able to, they would give me two assignments a week. So I would interview a dominatrix, or I would do research on cuckolding. Again, you can Google that. Reviewing sex toys, like sex toy companies would send me vibrators and I'd review them and write articles about them. Like, it
now
was,
see, you could do that in 12-step.
You can, but
that would actually be a very good thing for someone in 12-step.
Kill a lot of time
reviewing vibrators.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you that it was a good time. It was a really good time.
You literally enjoyed yourself.
I enjoyed myself many times, and so I had the sex column. So I guess Huffington Post found it and they emailed me wanting a quote about sober sex. So so this was spring of 2018. I was 2.5 years sober at the time of this quote. Okay. I'm still working on connecting to the physical and emotional aspects of sex. Intimacy is tough for me because I often hid behind the veil of alcohol in past relationships and hookups. Now that alcohol is completely off the table, I'm dealing with the fact that I find it terrifying to be emotionally intimate with someone. Eye contact, pillow talk, even flirting are more of a challenge than the act of physical sex.
Right.
And I felt that way for a long time,
yeah.
For a very long time. I even like I was saying, hid behind the veil of alcohol. Like I was faking orgasms up until sobriety.
Yeah.
Like to me, sex was about pleasing a man. for much of my drinking time.
So
I was like, oh yeah, this is the point where I should have an orgasm, and I would just fake it and never told anyone. I had all these relationships and they don't know, and maybe they're listening now. Sorry,
they know
guys.
Now.
Sorry, guys. But like once I quit drinking, I was like, you know what? Like I'm getting in touch with reality and myself and my sexuality. I'm not going to fake this anymore. Like I want realness on all fronts.
Yeah.
So I brought that into sex.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So that's been really interesting.
Yeah.
And again, empowering.
Yeah.
Of like finding out like what sobriety has allowed me to find what I like by not faking. I'm
oh,
able
that's
to,
so interesting.
I'm able
and
to
you,
explore
yeah, yeah,
what I actually
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and it's also just a whole, I think, different experience in being connected to the person, like being present.
Yeah.
Like there, when you're, you know, when you've been drinking, when you've been using any kind of mind-altering substance, you're not sort of present there actually with the person. And
oh, yeah.
That is at once a wonderful thing, but also a really terrifying thing, you know?
Absolutely. It's because sex is very, I mean, it's very personal. It's like you're naked with another person. That's,
yeah.
If you're insecure about your body, all sorts of stuff, past traumas, all this stuff comes into play in that moment,
especially
for women.
Yeah.
It can be very challenging. But and even like so the person who submitted this question is actually someone who's not sober and who's not an addict or an alcoholic, but she was like, I would love to hear you guys talk about sober sex. And also just for me, I find that I like having a glass of wine before I have sex with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
It relaxes me. I feel less inhibitions.
Well, it's a social lubricant.
It is.
Yeah. And I think that is very common. I don't think it's at all uncommon for, you know, people to feel like they are more comfortable having sex if they've had a drink or they've had something that, you know, kind of takes down those inhibitions a bit. But there is also one of the things that I realized was that, you know, like I used to think that, and this goes back to sort of what you were saying, was that having sex was this intimate thing, right? That it connected me to somebody else, whether it was somebody I was in a relationship with or even, you know, a hookup, whatever, that it formed this bond. Like we are now bonded by this thing. Yes, we are now two people who have had sex with each other, but we are not two people who have created some sort of bond. You know, it was like the thing that I could do to mean like you're in my life.
Yeah.
You know, like now you and I have done this thing and now you can never, you know, take that away from me sort of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's almost like releasing power.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was almost like you can never unclaim me in a way. I am now like if it was because I used sex as a drug, frankly, when I was in my 20s. I used it as a drug. Like I was the person who would want to pursue somebody, something, whatever. And then I won. If we had sex, even if it was like a drunken hookup and I never talk to you again, or you completely blow me off or whatever it is, I won. Cause I got you to do that with me and that you approve of me. Like that's approval. Like I am not so ugly. I am not so fat. I am not so whatever. You had sex with me. Like that was, it was such a, you know, it was all about me and my own insecurities and my own lack of self-acceptance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that.
That shows up everywhere.
It does.
Especially the bedroom.
It does. And that, you know, as a result, like there are certain things, like you said, like the actual act of having sex is a lot less intimate than certain other acts. Eye contact, you know, certain kinds.
You say that as you look into my eyes.
I look deeply into your eyes because I feel connected to you.
We are. We are intimate. We have our own intimacy.
You can never be released of me. but you know, that's like oral sex, I think I always felt way more intimate than actual intercourse.
Yeah. It's common. A lot of women that
taking
I've talked
a shower
to
with someone way more intimate than having sex with them. To me.
Yeah. Well, even like I said in that quote, like pillow talk. like being vulnerable. Yeah. Like I was at a point in my life where it's like, I would rather have the physical act of sex than have that vulnerable conversation with you of like, this is who I really am. This is my life. And that's, and so that spills into dating.
Yeah.
And all of those things. But I will say if Huffington Post reached out to me now for a quote on sex, my answer would be totally different now that I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
All of those things that I just talked about are one of my favorite things about sex now.
Yeah.
Because I've met a really good guy.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it definitely changes. Wait, and then you'll get to married sex.
Yeah, that'll be another episode.
Says the lady who's been married for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I always knew that my chasing sex from, you know, people that I thought were out of my league, unattainable, was a way for me to validate myself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It was a way for me to prove I wasn't the piece of shit I thought I was. And to somehow connect myself to that person in a way that they can never retract. But I sound really dateable right now.
Really? Good thing you're married.
Yeah, right? So, you know, it really... When all of a sudden that's not in the picture, like when I started dating people, like after that 1 year was up, you know, basically my friend that night with the chef at the wedding, I was like, he had been drinking. He was like, you know, you have to leave for the, he had a really thick French accent. It's like, you will be leaving from the airport tomorrow.
This is your French accent?
That's my French accent. He's closer.
Nailed
to,
it. Yeah. Wee wee,
right? You know, I'll lose the accent. He said, you know, if you stay at my place, it's closer to the airport where you need to be tomorrow. That was his like romantic line there, and I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I'm just not ready. I'm like, I had attended my first sober wedding. I was not, you know, going home and getting naked with this really great looking guy who I just
French.
Met. So literally, the bride, my friend, the bride, when I went to say goodnight, I was like, I'm going. She's like, you're not going home with Frank? And I said, no, I can't. And she was like, Lisa, she's like, you have to rip this Band-Aid off at some point. She was like, he's perfect. She's like, he's gorgeous. He barely speaks English. And you never have to see him again. How many times are you going to get that opportunity? So I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's do this. And then I became all business as he was like, are you going home? You could say whatever. I was like, no, this is how it's going to go down. You're going to follow me in my rental car to the condo I'm staying at with these five other women. I'm going to get my stuff. I'm going to put it in the car, and then I'm going to follow you to your place. Like, it was, I was like, all right, let's just do this.
Dom queen.
I got a little dom. I got slightly dom. And then, you know, it was a new thing. It was like being a virgin to me all over again because it was like, how do I do this?
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it had been a year, all of that. So, but then it was a very good thing that I had, you know, gotten through that. And even though, of course, it's not going to be the most, you know, fantastic experience of your life when you're, you know, in those circumstances, it was like, wow, there's a whole nother world of being able to have sexual relationship with somebody that I haven't had.
Yeah.
And wow, that could be pretty cool.
And even like the fact that you laid out the ground rules of like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's must have felt sexy and empowering in another self.
I was like, oh my gosh, I'm making the rule here. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Good for you.
No, that was good. It was empowering. It was empowering.
And you got to bang a hot French guy.
I did. And yeah. And then he came to New York a few times. So,
great.
You know, I did end up actually seeing him again. But it was funny too, because I have to just to put in my sort of 12 steppy thing, how we always say there are no coincidences. I had like a 7 a.m. flight, and I'd just taken a new job too. So I really had to get on that flight, and I was all nervous about it. And I was like, I had made sure, I'm like, you have two alarm clocks, because this was before cell phones were used as alarm clocks, because I'm old. And setting this whole thing up. And on the way, I'm following him driving through these mountains in Utah and, you know, scared out of my mind. First of all, I never drive. I live in Manhattan. But as I'm like clicking around on the radio too, because it was like, midnight and or one in the morning, and I was tired. And I happened to hit this radio station, and they were like, "Don't forget, turn your clocks ahead 1 hour tonight, daylight savings." Oh, and I was like, "Oh my God!" Like, if I had not heard that radio tell me it was daylight savings time, I would have missed my flight. I would have been, you know, not gone back for my job on Monday, like all these things. So once the universe, I thought, like, told me that, I was like, all right, you know, I hit the gas. I'm like, let's go. This is the right thing. So, you know, sometimes we get these little messages.
Absolutely.
If we watch for them.
Something else I want to touch on.
Yes.
Sex related. Like sexuality and sexual orientation.
Okay.
You know, the majority of my friends are in the LGBT plus community. I identify as bisexual. And I know I have several friends that are trans and gay, who it's so interesting to hear their sober stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, already, like, when your existence is already stigmatized, just being who you are.
Yeah.
It's super common to self-medicate with drugs and alcohol.
Sure. Huge.
To try and change your reality because you're not being accepted at home, or you're teased at school, or you can't come out. You know, there's all of these, all of these things. And I think I wanted to touch on that because I think that's a really important issue. And I'm glad that there's more sober LGBT advocates out there that are talking about, like, you know, you don't have to go to a gay bar just because you're gay and you're 20. There's other ways to meet gay people. You don't have to go to just this gay bar.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that things are starting to pop up more like that.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, I think, is really helping.
Yeah.
And especially living in New York, there's tons of sober queer communities and events. And I find that to be really inspiring. And even, you know, with me coming to terms with my sexuality, I don't know if I would have gotten there if I was still drinking, but who knows?
Right.
Who the hell knows? But sobriety just helps me understand who I am.
Well, that's really it.
I learn something new about myself almost every day.
Yeah.
Like just going to therapy, going to road recovery, talking to you, doing stuff like this. And like just when life happens, seeing how I deal with it. It's a constant gift.
Well, you live a much more intentional life. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there is... like for me, it's been that piece of it has been important, but also just the like respecting myself, which I never did.
You know?
And like you said, like I was like being all business in that situation, like being able to feel like not being able to feel like I deserve better. Mm-hmm. And with the entire community you're talking about, we all deserve better.
We all deserve better. We all deserve respect and love and equality. And we all deserve respect. That's
And how do you deal, like, have you dealt with when things were not, any kind of negative experience in terms of sober sex, like, or negative, you know, did it ever feel like being sober was a negative thing on the sex front?
That's a really good question. There were times where... like the person who submitted the question was like, I like having a glass of wine before sex to feel uninhibited. I miss that.
Yeah.
That's really nice sometimes, especially when you're, you know, dating or in a new relationship, that finding how you two mesh together without booze, it could be tough.
Yeah.
It could be really tough. I'm very grateful to have a good partner now who's also in recovery.
Right.
So we are able to actually...
We love him.
We do love him. But we talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm uncomfortable because where... or I like this. Do this.
Yeah.
Where I never had the confidence to ask someone to do stuff like that before.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God.
It was...
No.
I was not confident.
And I have to say, but I would also say, just sort of as we wrap up, like, it does not, getting sober and sort of finding your feet sexually in sobriety.
Your sex feet.
Putting like your sober feet, take you to a meeting, your sex feet, take you to bed. But it doesn't mean that all of our issues around sex go away and we become these wonderfully present, uninhibited. Like, I still have major issues that are going to be with me.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout. And that's okay too.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Our insecurities, our traumas, yeah, those things are going to be with
they
us.
They stay with us. I mean, it doesn't all, you know, it's not, if whatever issues I would bring to sex were more than just the fact that I was drunk all the time. That was a big one.
Oh, you're so right.
But it let me, getting sober helped me to see it, helped me to, you know, come to terms with it and think about it. I'm not perfect on any of these fronts by far.
I strongly disagree.
And I have to say, well, I have to say I have, you know, no matter how good the sex gets, there was always room for an excellent vibrator.
You are so right.
Yeah.
You should put that on a t-shirt.
Always room for an excellent vibrator.
Yeah, there's always room for an excellent vibrator. And you can look at my sex column for great tips on which
for great
to
tips
buy.
Or ask us. DM us.
Yeah, ask us about vibrators. Do you have a favorite vibrator?
I do.
What is it?
It's called the Womanizer.
Yes.
You know that one.
I know, I just wanted to hear you say it.
You made me say it. Well, we both highly recommend it.
It's good, and I also recommend the Satisfier.
I haven't done that.
That's a fun one.
Well, now I know what I'm doing today.
And for heterosexual couples, the Hot Octopus Pulse Duo.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'll just leave that there. We're not getting paid to promote any of these,
by the
way. I
feel like I need a cigarette. I haven't smoked in like 10 years. I feel like I need a cigarette. So, yeah, any thoughts you have on sex, sober sex, let us know.
Yeah, and talk to us about it.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for listening.
Use a condom.
Use a condom. Be safe. Be safe out there. Okay. Bye. We would love to hear from you guys. If anybody wants to ask questions, have any discussion, comments, weigh in, you can find me at Girl Walks Out on Twitter, on Instagram, and my website is lisasmithauthor.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Tawny M. Lara, and my website is tawnylara.com. And my blog you can find at sobrietyparty.com.
That's right.
T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-A-T-E-